Recently, we talked about retirement plans for baby boomers, and we asked listeners in their 20s and 30s to send us their questions. Boy, you did. 20 and 30-somethings are earning less than their counterparts a decade ago. They're not going to get those old-style guaranteed pensions. Their Social Security will probably come later in life and be smaller. So you guys have questions, and none too stupid. We've brought back our personal finance expert, Mary Beth Franklin. She's senior editor at Kiplinger's Personal Finance and joins us from the NPR studios in Washington, D.C. Mary Beth, welcome back.
Thanks, Robin.
Student loans. Jessica wrote to us. She's a 22-year-old second-year law student in Kansas, racking up some serious debt.
By the time I graduate, I'll have a little over $100,000 in loans, and I wasn't sure what the percentages might be that I need to put in savings and can also allocate to my loans in order to manage life financially.
So, Mary Beth Franklin, do you pay off your loans fully and then start saving money? What would you advise?
No, I would definitely take a two-front approach to this problem. Student loans must be repaid. So a lot of it will depend on what her first job is, what she's earning, what her expenses are, but a certain amount will have to go to student loans. What I would encourage is if she is working for an employer that offers to match her 401k contributions. Not all employers do, but many of them do. Do that at a bare minimum, because if you don't, you are walking away from free money that can never be recaptured.
Okay, you've brought us to 401k retirement contributions. Let's talk about those for a second. These are plans where you have money, you know, taken out of your paycheck. You contribute to your retirement, and you're saying do it. You know, even if you have to, okay, so you don't go out as much or you don't buy furniture or whatever, but do the match because that's extra money. And I just want to circle back and underscore what you said. Don't do anything that will interrupt paying off your student loans. That's got to be the first thing that you consider.
That's right. Now, depending on what job you get, sometimes employers will offer to pay off some of those loans. It will depend on the source of your loans in the first place and what specific rules your new employer has in place.
Right. Well, but I think, you know, the overall Kiplinger's advice is pay off your debt by your 30s and pay off the high interest rate items first, and that would be your student loan. So that's a good bumper sticker.
The other thing not to miss here is the incredible value of time and compounding. That if someone is 25 putting away, say, $2,000 a year for retirement, they could do that for 10 years and stop and never put away another dime, and they will have accumulated more by retirement age than someone who starts at 35
Wow.
and continues contributing for the rest of their working life.
Wow.
So even if it's a very small amount, get that working for you.
And do it because, as Mary Beth, you just said, you're lucky enough to know all of this. some of us didn't, you know, so do it while you can.
Just like Crosby, Stills, and Nash said, teach your children well.
What about young people who don't have a full-time employer? They're freelancing or taking all sorts of odd jobs. They don't have these traditional 401k employer-run contribution plans. You say young people should save 10% of their paycheck. Let's hear from 26-year-old Rose. She's from Lexington, Massachusetts. She puts aside a little every month. She has about $6,000 in savings, but she's kind of stuck on the different options. Let's listen.
I know I should probably have some savings that I can access immediately for an emergency. I do want to start building my retirement, so should I put in stocks or put it in Roth IRAs? I'm not even sure where to start.
So, Mary Beth Franklin, we said at the outset, no question too stupid. What's a Roth IRA?
Well, first of all, congratulations to Rose at 26 for getting a head start on her finances. A Roth IRA is a savings vehicle for retirement that does not give you an upfront tax deduction, but any money that you take out in retirement will be tax-free. Now, that's the exact opposite of a traditional IRA, where you get a tax break upfront for contributing, but then all the money that eventually comes out in retirement, including all those decades of earnings, you would be taxed at your regular tax rate. For a young worker right now who's probably not making a lot of money and consequently is not in a high tax bracket, a Roth makes a lot of sense. So let's say you can put away the maximum $5,000 a year. It means you actually deposit $5,000 into an account. There's no upfront tax break. But then when you're 65, let's say maybe you have $400,000 by then. All that money you've contributed and earned on your earnings will come out tax-free.
Wow.
That's huge.
Yeah. Well, Rose being very honest, she's not even sure where to start. She's asking if she should put money in stocks or Roth IRAs, but you remind us that they're often the same thing. Explain.
That's right. It's not mutually exclusive. A Roth IRA is a retirement account where you invest money for your future. What you do with the money inside that account could be invested in stocks. It could be invested in mutual funds, which is basically a portfolio of different stocks that a professional investment manager handles for you. It could be in something as simple as a money market account. For someone starting out, I would recommend investing in mutual funds.
And what about just going off on your own and investing in individual stocks?
Absolutely not. Yeah. That is a dangerous game.
Let's hear from Cassandra, who's a 33-year-old professional stage actor from Chicago. She wants to take full advantage of the Roth IRA. You know, there's a maximum amount she can put in, but she's wondering about that. Let's listen.
I have a Roth IRA, and I'm raising the April 15th deadline right now to get the $5,000 amount into it for 2010. My question is, how much or all of my savings do I put into the Roth in order to make that cap? And in the long run, do I put all of my savings into my Roth every year so I can make that cap, or is it better to keep some of that money in liquid savings?
Your thoughts.
I would still keep some of her money in liquid savings. Again, it's so important to have that emergency fund rather than always relying on credit cards to dig yourself out of a mess. But the Roth IRA has a real advantage over other retirement plans. Say she contributes $5,000 before the tax deadline, and something happens down the road and she needs to take $2,000 out. She can. No harm, no foul. If that had been a traditional IRA, she would have had to pay taxes on the amount withdrawn, plus a 10% early withdrawal penalty because she was underage. So you can see where the Roth really has a lot more flexibility.
That's Mary Beth Franklin, senior editor at Kiplinger's Personal Finance. One of the pieces of advice she just gave is don't go into the stock market on your own. But there are those ads for online brokers with those adorable talking babies.
A lot of people are like, aren't you too young to invest in the markets? And, you know, A, don't worry about it. You know, I just look young. I mean, you don't know how old I am. And B, I use E-Trade, so.
I just love them. And Mary Beth, we heard from a 38-year-old Pamela in Philadelphia. Now, she and her husband have retirement accounts in place through their jobs. But she also has about $3,000 or $4,000 a year in spare cash. And she wants to know about getting into the stock market.
We've been investing with our uncle, who's at a large investment firm. But we were thinking about going out on our own. And we were wondering what kind of questions should we ask and what should we look for with an online broker like an E-Trade or something like that?
So, Mary Beth, is your advice the same for those online brokers? Don't do it.
No, online brokers can be very helpful with the stock research. I think first you have to decide whether you want to invest in individual stocks, which by definition are much riskier than investing in mutual funds, because there you have a professional investment manager who is investing for a variety of different goals. Some might be investing for income. Some might be investing in large U.S. stocks. Some might be investing in companies that have international stocks. So you need to know what your goal is and how much risk you're willing to take. The most important thing that people can do is to create an overall investment plan. We tell people to diversify, to have a little bit of money here and a little bit there, not just stocks and bonds, but increasingly what we call alternative investments that might include things like commodities or real estate, because we never know which part of the market is going to be up and which part is going to be down. If you have a few thousand dollars to start with, it's easier to diversify by investing in mutual funds as opposed to plunking it down on one individual stock and hoping it does well.
Yeah.
When you're starting out, you've got multiple goals. Probably to start with, you want to have an emergency fund that eventually would cover, say, 6 months of your guaranteed expenses. That doesn't mean 6 months of your paycheck, but 6 months of your expenses, if it might be repaying student loans or having a car loan, whatever. Then separately, you probably want some kind of intermediate fund, you know, that one day you might want to buy a house, or maybe you're saving to buy a car, money that you might need in, say, the next 5 years. You want to have a little more liquid maybe in a certificate of deposit of a bank.
You mentioned CDs, certificates of deposit. We heard from Melanie from Palmer, Alaska. She and her husband worry about their retirement planning, but they're well on their way to paying off their mortgage. They've got about $200,000 in different retirement plans and accounts, including his union pension. They've also got $12,000 put aside for their preschool-age kids' education and a $10,000 emergency account. But that's what she has a question about.
I know there must be some better place for it. There used to be the CDs that were a good idea, but it sounds like the interest is not so fabulous on those right now. I just don't know if there's some other option of what we could be doing with the whole chunk or just taking part of it and putting it somewhere else that's maybe going to get a higher yield.
So Mary Beth Franklin, remind us, what's a CD and what's she talking about yield?
A certificate of deposit, a CD, is a deposit you make at a bank for an agreed amount of time. It might be 1 year, 2 years, 5 years. The longer you commit to it, generally the higher the interest rate is. But at the same time, if you need to break into that CD early, there will be early withdrawal penalties. We do find that a lot of the online banks tend to pay slightly higher interest rates than the brick and mortar variety, so you might want to look at that. You know, with all the disruption in the Middle East and what might happen to gasoline prices and possibly interest rates as a result, I don't think I'd be locking in any long-term CDs right now. I think I'd be looking to see if interest rates are going to start creeping up, and then you might want to put some of that money in a 1 or 2 year CD.
Huh. Excellent, excellent. Well, a lot of young listeners wanted to know about 529 college savings plans. These are plans specifically for your children's future education. What do you think?
I think they're an excellent idea. It's a great way for young families to save for what might be their largest financial expenditure of their lives, their children's college education. Each state operates its own 529 college savings plans. Some states will offer tax incentives on their state income taxes to contribute to these plans. There's no federal tax break on it. But you put the money away, it grows tax-free, and as long as the money is used to pay for college education expenses, the money comes out tax-free as well. So it's really a great way for long-term savings for your children. They're also very flexible that if one child doesn't use money, maybe the child doesn't go to college or, gets a college scholarship and doesn't need it, it can usually be transferred to siblings or other family members.
So Mary Beth Franklin, again, a senior editor at Kiplinger's Personal Finance, helping us answer your questions, 20-something questions about savings for retirement, which is so hard to wrap your brain around, you know. It's hard to wrap your brain around at most ages, but at that age, how much should 20-somethings, early 30-somethings have on hand as emergency funds? I mean, I know you can't, it's a different number for everybody, but what percentage, what should they have?
We tend to look at it as look at your expenses, the expenses you have to pay every month. Now, if you're living at home with mom and dad, you probably get a buy. Mm-hmm. But if you have an apartment and you're paying rent and you're paying student loans back and you're paying your utility bills, add all that up. And ideally aim for 3 to 6 months of those fixed expenses. That's what your emergency fund should hold.
Mary Beth Franklin, again, senior editor at Kiplinger's Personal Finance. Thank you so much.
Thank you.